awake and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Wake every heart and every tongue to praise the Savior's name. Sing of His dying blood. Sing of His rising power. Sing how He intercedes above for those whose sins He bore. Sing on your
pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for this another day of life on Your beautiful creation. We thank You for our lives during this time. We're thankful for this time that we have together as a group of Christians, as a church, and worship You as You've commanded us. We pray that this time will be fruitful. May we have the right state of mind that we might participate in the worship as You've intended it. We thank You for this great country we live in. We thank You for the many freedoms we enjoy, especially this freedom to assemble together and worship You without fear of harm from man. Pray that You be with us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and those that influence these young children. May we lead them and influence them in a way that they may grow up to know and love You and become strong Christians and continue Your church. We most of all thank You for Jesus Christ, the great example, perfect life He lived on this earth, the sacrifice He made on the cross that we might have a hope of eternity with You. May we strive always to follow His example in the way we live our lives. May we seek opportunities to teach others that we might further the borders of Your kingdom. This time we pray that you restore a portion of health to Sister Dixie Gray. May she gain a portion of thy health that she may return to us if it be thy will. Pray that You be with Judy and the boys. May they grow stronger every day. Pray that You be with Jakey Nunn. We know that we fall short often. We pray now that You'll forgive us of those many sins as we confess them to Thee. We thank You for the elders, the shepherd of the flock here. May they always consult Your word as they guide this church. We thank You for Brother Kyle and his ability to preach and teach. May You be with him and Tony, and may they have a long life in Thy service. It be Thy will. We pray now that You be with us. May we be good examples as we go out into the world. We thank You for the Bible and the guidance it gives us. We love You very much. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Sing number 398. 398. After this song, the Lord's Supper will be offered. I'd like to sing the three verses and then save the chorus for the end. If I start singing the chorus, just go with me. It'll be fine. All three verses in the chorus.
Oh, so I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my cross is paid to save. In the boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. I will sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer with His blood He purchased me.
You're here this morning and you'd like to take the Lord's Supper. Would you please raise your hands? Mighty Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day You've given us. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for this bread. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those that are about to eat this bread will do so in remembrance of our Lord and Savior who died for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we continue our thanks unto thee for the gift of thy Son, Jesus, upon the cross. We pray that you would be with the ones that are partaking of the cup at this time, that they might do so in a manner pleasing unto thee. These things we ask in thine and the Son's name. Amen.
Was anyone overlooked?
If you'd like to take a supplement and turn to number 13. Number 13 in the supplement.
Song that I see. separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we now take this time to give back to the Lord as he has given to us.
Would you please pray?
As was announced, this morning is our singing night, our singing service. So I've asked a few guys, because of the
exalted. Big book, number 54, number 54. Praise him, praise him. And I ask that we sing the first and third verses.
Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. And glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Number 48. On Zion's glorious summit.
No soul on Zion's glorious summit stood, a numerous host redeemed by blood. Mayhem their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth. For Jesus' lovely name shout victory now and have the laugh. Bow before the great I am. And bow before the great while everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession.
Number 22, he is in our midst.
drawn from the springs of salvation, give thanks to his great and holy name. Make known his deeds among the people, make known his exalted way. Praise the Lord and shout for joy, for the Holy One is in our midst. Praise the Lord and shout for joy, for he is in our midst. Call on his name with thanksgiving. Yes, joyously praise his name in song. Through love he offered our salvation. Through love he did give his Son. Praise the Lord and shout for joy, for the Holy One is in our midst. Praise the Lord and shout for joy, for he is in our midst.
Number 251, 251. I'm happy today. And let's sing all five verses.
I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today in Jesus Christ. I'm happy today because he's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm happy today. I'm singing today, oh yes, I'm singing today in Jesus Christ. I'm singing today because he's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm singing today. I'm praying today, oh yes, I'm praying today in Jesus' name. I'm praying today because he's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm praying today. I'm living today, oh yes, I'm living today in Jesus Christ. I'm living today because he's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm living today. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm hanging today in Jesus Christ. I'm praying today because he's taken all my sins away. And that's why I'm living today.
And our next song will be number 683, number 683. Sing and be happy. And let's sing all three verses.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see, my friend, trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song, singing me happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair skies, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy, press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you, he will keep your soul. Let all be faithful, look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song, singing me happy today.
Number 35. We'll sing all three verses of O Worship the King.
And also, O worship the King, O glorious above, and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor,
turn to number 375. For the sake of time, we'll sing the first, second, and fifth verses only. That's not that we're excluding anything because we don't believe it. I definitely would want everybody here to contemplate all of the meaning of this scripture, but for the sake of time, we're just going to sing the first, second, and third, first, second, and fifth verses this morning. Sorry, let me find my pitch here.
Do so, the Lord's my shepherd. In pastures green, he leads me.
Turn one page over to number 377. 377. And we'll sing all four verses first and then the chorus last. Do so me. When we behold the wonders of creation, the flowers that bloom, the raindrops as they fall, the spacious skies and life's perpetuation, we cannot doubt that God controlled it all. No finite mind, my mortal calculation, could frame the truths revealed within Word. In every trace of nature's operation, thy voice, O God, in mystery can be heard. When we perceive the state of alienation in which the soul from thee, O God, was lost, we must believe by heaven's ordination, our Lord redeemed and paid the bitter cost. Some days are filled with joy and expectation. Some days are dark, with cares we are beset. In hours of joy or hours of tribulation, Lord, lest we forget. Lord, I believe, yes, I believe. I cannot doubt or be deceived. The eye that sees each sparrow fall, his unseen hand
turn to song number 660.
I will sing of the mercies.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord
forever I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Now turn with me. The song before the discussion is going to be number 452.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus,
once again, the invitation song is 190.
Thank you, Trevor, and thank you to each of the men that have led singing this day. It's been an edifying time for us to be together. I didn't realize when I made announcements, Judy Harwell is here, and it's certainly good to see her after delivering the babies, and we wish her the very best. Also, I neglected during the second service to mention there's a card posted from the Ferguson family expressing gratitude, and you can read that. This is the second time that we've done what some brethren have referred to as a chair talk, a discussion. I think there's scriptural authority for this. 1 Corinthians 14 certainly describes in a context of worship discussion about spiritual things that seem to involve a little bit of a give and take in which one would speak and then another one would speak. And so that's kind of what we're doing. And we're focusing on the subject today of worship and song. And we've each got a couple of questions we're going to deal with as some of the others will pose questions. And I'm going to start off by asking Patrick the question. Why do we have a special service devoted to worship and song?
Because we've been doing it as long as I can remember, which does give a good answer. It's not scriptural. If you ask why we get together and have singing and we're working on singing and to give leaders opportunities to get better at what they do, what my mind went to was obviously Ephesians 5:19, where we're commanded by Paul to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speaking to one another implies that we're here together and we're going to do it for each other and to each other. Paul also tells the Colossians in Colossians 3, verse 16, that we are supposed to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly and in all wisdom, and we are to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He also told the Corinthians in chapter 14, verse 40, to let all things be done decently and in order, because the Corinthians were having issues in their worship service. If you throw all that together and then you remember in John 4, verses 23 through 24, we are to do this in spirit and in truth, then it implies that we need to do this decently in order, and we need to do it together, and we are to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. And if we can't sing, we cannot do those things. If you think about singing, it's the one thing that we do together outwardly where your voice is actually heard. I think all of our acts of worship have to be learned and worked on and improved. But singing we do as a group, so that implies, or we can infer, I guess, little ones, your English teachers are teaching you to read, and one of the things they keep harping on is inferring things from what you know. Well, when we look at Scripture and we know what it teaches us about singing, we can infer that we're going to have to work on it, and we're going to have to get better at it. And if we're going to do that, that means you've got to do it in either small groups, or you're going to have to come together and do it at some time, one or the other. So if we are going to sing and do it the way Paul suggested and the way Scriptures teach us, we're going to have to work on it. Because if you think about singing, there's parts to it, there's timing, there's melodies to it, there are words, and if we're going to do it in spirit and truth, we have to know what we're doing, how we're doing it, and we have to do it in our hearts. If it's hard for us, it's hard to do it in your heart. If it's difficult for you to do, it's hard for you to do your teaching and admonishing of other brethren if you're not doing that or if you're not here. But my first thoughts, and I hope I didn't step on a whole lot of the other questions, the question I wanted to ask Kyle, we've been doing it for years, since I can remember, is it scriptural for us to get together and learn to sing together?
I believe so. You used all of my scriptures.
Oh, good.
But that's okay. That's okay. You know, Scripture in the New Testament, while in the Old Testament there were many things that were done as acts of worship to God, there are five in the New Testament that are described. We have prayer, we have the Lord's Supper, we have the giving for the work of the saints, we have teaching, and then we have singing also. And those two passages that you mentioned, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, address those. Now, what's interesting is of those acts of worship, they may be done, it would seem, at any time. The only two that are exclusive to the Lord's Day are the Lord's Supper and giving that we see there in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, and in Acts 20, verse 7, are things that were done only on the Lord's Day. Now, we do have some examples in Scripture where I think we can see times in which, of these acts of worship, they devoted some special attention to any one particular. Acts 20, verse 7, you know, there Paul spoke to them until midnight. Now, it's kind of interesting. We take that as a little bit of a pattern, but a limited pattern. We don't speak till midnight every time we get together, but we probably do devote more time to the teaching when we do come together. You'll see an occasion in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 where there it describes the church coming together for prayer, a particular need and a particular situation where they devoted themselves to prayer. And I think somewhat by inference we can assume or infer that could be the case when it comes to the matter of singing. Take a look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26. You mentioned the statement at the end of the chapter there where it talks about let all things be done decently and in order. In verse 26, and you'll remember it's in the context of talking about spiritual gifts, but it's emphasizing understanding. It's emphasizing things being done in order. And as it's contrasting tongues and prophecy, the emphasis is make sure it's done where people can understand. Verse 26 says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Given that these are authorized acts of worship, and we do see Scripture devoting some emphasis to one or the other, I think it's perfectly scriptural for us to devote special attention to one element of that worship. And as we noticed in Colossians 3, verse 16, it is teaching. So we're not just talking about background noise. We're not talking about entertainment. We're talking about teaching. I have a question then to ask Jeff. What are some objectives that we hope to accomplish when we do a song, sir?
The scriptures he didn't use, you did.
Okay.
What's that? There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Of course, first of all, it's to fulfill a command. When we come together, we're to sing. And follow the pattern in the New Testament church for what was done there. We're to teach one another, just like you said. And I need to ask a question. I notice from time to time certain people, I'm not going to point anybody out, but you know who you are, that aren't singing. How can you teach me when you're not singing to me and not singing with me? It's a command. It's not. If you feel like it, we're to teach one another. We're to edify one another. There are a lot of lessons to be learned and for us to be reminded of in certain songs in this book, all the songs in our books. By us coming together and having the song service, kind of a special song service, once a month, we're teaching one another and we're admonishing one another. Admonishing is to warn or to exhort. We can encourage one another to walk in the way pleasing unto God through our song service. And it's also an opportunity for us to learn new songs and practice, to learn newer songs and practice songs that we have sang in the past. And especially from men that are song leaders and that could teach us new songs, or correct us on improper singing of songs that we've sang in the past. An opportunity for young men and for new converts to practice song leading. These young men will need to take the place of us older men as we go on. Patrick, what can we as members do to make it most edifying.
Yeah. One of the things that concerns us, I think we've talked as a group before, is occasionally when we have song service and a special time to work on things, you hear things like, "Oh, it's just singing," or, "Well, that one's not important. We sing all the time." And the things that you can do to help make it more edifying or make it more positive in nature and help us as a congregation of God's people here at Olson Park is, first of all, I want to suggest that you need to be here. You need to come and show up. As Jeff was talking about, if you're not singing, by the same token, if you're not here, you cannot edify your brethren and your brothers and sisters if you're not around. And I'm not suggesting that these special singings are the only time we're edifying, but this is where we work on it, this is where we learn it, this is where we can do it. Not second nature is not necessarily a good term, but because if we don't know what we're doing, we're more concentrated on notes, we're more concentrated on words, we don't know what we're saying, and if we don't know what we're saying and what we're doing, we can't edify. Once you get here, we all need to participate. We need to practice. We need to take it seriously. It's just not singing a song that you have sang 1,500 times. And as we get older and older, some of these we sing on our own in the car and we know what they are. But that doesn't mean that there's not people sitting around us that do still need the help and still need to learn the things that are going on. And if we don't practice with them or get lend them our voice, it may not be where they can learn what they're doing either. It is a process of learning how to worship God publicly together singing. And we need to be here. We need to participate. And a few other things I might suggest. While we're here, we need to be patient with each other. There are people who struggle with singing. There are people who've never sang before. There are people who don't know specific or particular songs. And not that I don't want to step on somebody else's question, but there's also young men who are learning to lead songs at that time that are not going to get it right. They're going to, which I've done hundreds of times, pitch it too high. and then we all go home with a hoarse voice. But we need to be patient with them. We need to be patient with each other, and we need to realize this is worship. And this is the one thing that we're very well aware of in Scripture, is that we'll be doing this in heaven. And if we don't enjoy it here, it really makes me wonder why we would want to do it in heaven. But I think those are some things that can help us out and can help edify and build each other up. I'll ask Jeff, what can those who lead such a service do to make things more edifying?
Like you touched on it, it's a serious and important job. And when your name is posted to be a song leader, if you would make note of that, appear in your phone, tell your wife, tie a string around your finger, whatever it takes to help you remember, so you can be prepared. And if you can't be here, give somebody enough notice where they can be prepared. Because being prepared for that is important. And too many times we have some men here that are more than willing and able to step up at the last minute. But that's not really fair to them, nor is it, I think, the most pleasing unto God if we're not prepared. Know the songs. Practice the songs. If you don't know the song, practice it. There's the day of internet and we have song books here. Take one home. Bring it back. Take it home. Practice it if you don't have a song book. And ask your spouse or ask a friend to tell you, if you don't know about the pitch, is that pitch too high? Am I leading it too slow? Is the timing off? Practice this. This is serious. This is something that is supposed to be a sweet sound unto God. And I'm not saying that if we're off pitch a little bit or it's a little too slow, it's not pleasing unto God. But it helps all of us. It helps us to edify one another and to be edified and to teach one another. And lead songs that are fitting for worship. Lead songs that, if it's an invitation, lead songs that are that encourage and exhort someone if they need to step forward. Songs prior to the Lord's Supper to help us prepare our minds for the partaking of the Lord's Supper. And lead songs that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will sing with spirit and understanding. Make sure that if you're going to lead that song, you understand what it is. I don't know how many times I led the song, I will raise my Ebenezer. I didn't know what it was. And I thought one time, what am I leading? And it didn't take long to research it. It didn't take long to figure out what it was. It was a memorial stone that was set up by Samuel to commemorate God's assistance in Israel defeating the Palestinians in battle. So make sure that we understand that. And when we lead one like that, tell people. There's a lot of people will know, but some of us don't. And make sure that we understand that. Kyle, what attitude should we bring to such a song?
Well, in that passage that you just cited, if you haven't turned there, turn to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. There, once again, as he's talking about tongues and spiritual gifts, verse 15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. One of the first things that I would say in terms of attitude is understanding. You know, we can't just sit there and go through the motions and just say the words without thinking about it. We are individually worshiping as we sing to God. And so let's make certain that we understand that. Now, you know, you had mentioned that sometimes folks may not sing. I've heard some that will say, well, I'm just not very talented at that, so I don't feel like I should. Well, we understand from what Scripture teaches, it is not about being a good singer. It is about praising God in our worship. So while each of us should try to do the best we can, and I think there's value in learning better the parts and things like that, at the same time, we do the best we can with what we have. And so, you know, if I can't carry a tune in a bucket, I'm still praising my God, and it's acceptable. So I think that becomes a part of this singing with understanding. The second thing that I would say is do so with consideration of one another towards edification. The text in 1 Corinthians 14:26 that we read a moment ago said, let all things be done for edification. So everything that we're doing, whether we're praying, whether we're studying, is so that we can build each other up. And that should be, as I'm singing, I should be thinking about, you know, does my brother or sister that's here with me, are they having a hard time with this thing that the song is singing about? Can my worship and song help encourage them in some way? You know, first in Hebrews 10:25, it talks about our assembling together to consider one another, to stir each other up towards love and good deeds. And if we remember that singing is teaching, in each of those words that we're proclaiming, Lord, I believe, we are testifying to one another. We're encouraging each other about what we do believe. And then the last thing that I would just say from that text that Patrick mentioned at the very end of 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, there are going to be times where the preacher misspeaks or says something wrong, or in a prayer we get our tongue tangled or something like that. But our aim should be, we want this, you know, in all aspects of worship to God. When they offer the sacrifice, they gave God the best. And so if we see this as a spiritual sacrifice, we're giving God our best. And so we want to make certain that we are doing it in a dignified way, in an orderly manner, and in a spiritual way. I think that's all of our questions that we'll ask. We'll turn it back over to Trevor.
If anyone has a need, please let it be known as we stand and as we sing number 190, Marching to Zion.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Thank you, guys. That was really good. I really appreciated that. I want to thank everybody for your presence this morning. If you're visiting with us, we have several. We're so glad you could be here. We ask that you'll stay around for a few minutes. Let us get to know you. If there's nothing else, we'll meet back at 7 o'clock on Wednesday for Bible classes, and then again on Sunday. Lance?
Would you bow with me?